You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thank you for listening and for subscribing, and to those who support us on Patreon. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here as always with David Ramil. We've got some Anthony Davis stuff to talk about, a question about how the Heat can pounce if the Pelicans decide to blow it up, and the latest news on Derrick Jones Jr., but let's start with Davis. Davis requested a trade, and we haven't talked about it here yet, though we did break it down over on Locked On NBA with the Washington Post Ben Golliver, so check that out if you haven't heard that already. But we have to at least talk about the possibility of the Heat getting into this conversation, if they could get involved or if they should even get involved, David. I mean, Riley should at least be calling Pelicans GM Dell Demps and just trying to figure out if he can get into this into the mix here.
Yeah, but there's a couple of things that complicate that. I think we've heard news lately that Rich Paul, who represents, you know, LeBron James as well as Anthony Davis, has indicated that the Lakers are the front runners to re-sign Davis this summer when he becomes a free agent. And that's scaring other teams away. So I'm not sure that Miami could potentially or is interested in getting into any kind of a bidding war there, especially if they're not going to be able to even retain Davis in the offseason. And part of that is that he wants to be able to at least advance a little bit further. As we talked about and as Ben indicated on the show, he seems to think that a part of the allure of Los Angeles is getting Davis to expand his brand a little bit, to have more marketing opportunities that he currently does, that even though he is a top five player in the NBA, he's not necessarily big on the social landscape there. And so there's other opportunities that will be available to him playing in LA, playing alongside LeBron James, et cetera. So I'm not sure whether or not there's a realistic chance for Miami to sign him, but yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, Riley should at least dig around, see what happens. And I think this kind of leads into a question that we're going to answer later on. Maybe there are other players on that Pelicans roster that might be worth picking apart there. It's also worth noting that even though the presence of Paul complicates things, I think maybe Miami could be a third team in a potential trade. I'm not sure what goes where, but at the same time, it might be interesting to see whether or not they'd be able to take some of those players off, move some players to the Pelicans and Lakers in a three-team trade, but we'll see how it happens.
So there's a couple of things there. I know that Anthony Davis and his camp is basically saying, like, we're going, in his camp being Rich Paul, basically saying we're going to the Lakers, that they're the favorites to sign Anthony Davis. But it's not this summer. It's the following summer. I mean, Anthony Davis is still under contract for the rest of this season and the rest of next season. It's the following season where he's got that player option. And so if you're the Heat, I mean, I don't think that they have the assets anyway to make a move for Anthony Davis. I think the Lakers could beat out whatever potential offer that the Heat could put together pretty easily, just given that they have the first-round picks that Miami doesn't necessarily have. The Heat could offer their 2019 pick unprotected, but I don't know how much value that has right now. It seems like it's going to fall somewhere between, I don't know, like around the 15th pick, where the Lakers could be top eight, you know, potentially. So with that said, I do think that you're hitting on something there with the Heat kind of getting involved anyway. They're not going to be the team that lands Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. But since the Big Three dissolved in 2014, Pat Riley has made trades with 10 NBA teams. Okay, so we'll call that the modern era of Miami Heat basketball. That the last 4 years, basically. And so the reason I bring this up is because Sam Amick, and we've talked about this piece that he wrote, but for The Athletic, went into detail about how it's, you know, these front offices have pre-existing relationships and they lean on those relationships when the trade deadline is coming down, and they know, and there's a comfort level between certain GMs, and so those trades are able to materialize a little bit easier between, you know, teams that have worked together before. And so that's why I bring this up. Riley has worked with 10 teams. He's traded once with the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Hawks, the Mavericks, the Trailblazers, the Magic, and the Suns. The Suns was the Goran Dragic trade. He's done, and he hasn't worked with the Suns since James Jones took over, but I imagine that there's a little bit of a relationship there.
Yes.
There's three teams that the Heat have traded with twice. the Memphis Grizzlies, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Boston Celtics. So, despite what people think, Pat Riley and Danny Ainge work together all the time. There's one team, David, that the Heat have traded with three times since the summer of 2014. Do you want to guess which team that is?
Well, I know Norris Cole was sent over to the New Orleans Pelicans. I can't recall at any other trade that there might have been consummated there, but I imagine you're building up towards the Pelicans?
Yes, it's been the New Orleans Pelicans, and Pat Riley and Dell Demps have worked together three times since LeBron James left in the summer of 2014. I don't mean to say that the Heat are getting Anthony Davis because of that. They're not getting
exactly
Anthony Davis.
That's exactly what you're saying.
But all I'm saying is that there's a relationship there, and if the Pelicans are trying to work out a deal with the Lakers and the one-for-one trades aren't necessarily working the way that they want, Dell Demps might call up Pat Riley and be like, hey, can you help facilitate this and this, and in exchange we'll give you this. That's, again, I have no idea what this and this is. I don't know what it looks like, but it's a possibility that Miami could be affected by the Anthony Davis fallout here. But
what were
part
the
of
trades?
That is...
What were the trades? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, you're putting me on the
spot. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, you're putting me on the spot. I think was it the Brian Roberts thing? No. I'm trying to remember.
Yes. Yeah, that was part of it, wasn't it?
Yeah. They've worked together in like weird, like... All these like weird trades. It hasn't been necessarily like I want this player and you want this player, let's swap. And that's exactly why. It's been these kind of like three team, like, okay, take this contract, we'll give you a conditional second, like we're working together. And that's why I think that he could get involved, but maybe they can get involved in a bigger way and actually land a real contributor. We'll talk about that after this break. All right, we'll talk about the Heat's plan to replace Derek Jones Jr. for the next several weeks later on. But first, let's take this question from Sam, who writes in, with the news coming out about AD wanting out of New Orleans, could the Heat swoop in and trade for Drew Holiday? Do you guys even think we should do that? He's almost 29, but he's a very good player. I think it would be really beneficial to the Heat if we could somehow get off a contract in the process. What do you guys think that trade would look like? So should the Heat go after Drew Holiday? He's a really good player.
He is a really good player. My concern isn't whether or not Drew is the kind of player that you'd want to acquire. It's probably more who you have to give up in order to get him. And I think any foundation of that, unless it's a three-team trade or one of a couple trades that are going to be worked out, obviously Goran Dragic, you're moving him because, well, you know, with the acquisition of Drew, then Dragic's role is going to be reduced, if not altogether cut out. So I think that's a big part of it. But you'll also probably have to throw in, because of salary situations, you probably also have to throw in one of the young trio of players. Now the Pelicans have a really interesting kind of salary cap situation because they've got a number of contracts there that are expiring this year or only have a year left in them, with the exception of Holidays. This is a four-year deal. So they're in an unusual spot. You imagine with the moving of Anthony Davis, or as we expect, the moving of Anthony Davis at some point soon, that they'd want to retain salary cap flexibility, that they're probably going to enter into a full rebuild. And if that's the case, then they'd probably want one of those young players. My thinking is if they're moving Davis, they'd probably want Bam Adebayo. Mm-hmm. And then I think you'd probably have to throw in a player, say a James Johnson, in order to make the salaries work, because Drew does come in at a pretty hefty salary cap situation. So you're moving Adebayo, James Johnson, and Dragic. And while you don't have a problem with the Dragic and Johnson, having to move Adebayo seems a little problematic to me. And I don't know if you're willing. Look, Drew is definitely an improvement over Holiday. I mean, I'm sorry, Drew is also an improvement over Dragic, but at the same time, you know, you've got Winslow facilitating in the point guard position now. Does that cut into his ability to play that spot more effectively? Does that require some kind of a switch as far as either Holiday, you know, playing the point and Winslow being a third, you know, maybe the three in
certain
situations?
I think Drew is, he thrives more as that off ball.
Yes,
I actually think his skills overlap more with Josh Richardson's.
So, yeah,
as the secondary guy, I actually think like Josh Richardson is kind of like mini Drew Holiday, or not, he's actually bigger than Drew Holiday, so I shouldn't say that. Drew Holiday light.
Yeah.
But so I think that, but I do think it works. I mean, if you have a Winslow, Holiday, Richardson perimeter, that's lights. Like, that's legitimately three guys who have an argument to be
all NBA
level defenders. Like, that is the best defending backcourt in the NBA, and I don't think it's close. But still, like, you're right. How does Holiday fit in? I don't think you worry about that necessarily. But for me, like, Drew is, I really like Drew Holiday, right? I wrote two pieces in the playoffs last year about how great he is.
Are you willing to give up Adebayo in order to acquire him?
That's the thing, man. Like, he's not even an all-star. Like, he's really good, and maybe some of that not... Like, if he played in L.A., he'd probably be an all-star, right?
That, but also, that's the Western Conference. I mean, you can't knock off... Harden and Westbrook are locked in, right? I mean, and then anybody
But would
else.
He be all? Would he be an all-star in the Eastern Conference? Like, at guard? Like,
You can make an argument that he's better than Kemba Walker. He's not as prolific a scorer, maybe, as Walker was, you know, earlier in the season. But you could make a case that between his defense and the offense that he's capable of putting up, that he's good enough to be better than Kemba.
But basically, what we're talking about, though, is a fringe all-star, right?
Which and is what all the porn is, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if he's lucky at this point. But, like, I'm just talking about, like, going forward, you know, for the length of this contract. Drew is going to be a fringe all-star. But you're right. And it's like, how much does that kind of player, even Goran Dragic last year when he was an all-star, didn't really move the needle a whole lot for Miami if we're talking about, like, trying to get home court in the playoffs and things like that, really trying to be a contender. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much Holiday really moves the needle. I mean, I know it's the Western Conference, but they have Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday, and they can't even make the playoffs. Mm. So I don't know if it's worth, like, we're kind of getting into that Mike Conley conversation. Like, Conley and Drew Holiday are both, like, really good point guards that you would love to have on your team, but then when you consider that they're not elite point guards, they're not, or even guards, like, depending on how we define Drew Holiday as a one or a two, but they don't necessarily move the needle a whole lot in the wins column. You'd love to have them, but their contracts are a little onerous, and so you kind of end up in this situation where I don't know if I want to give up one of my best assets, like a Bam Adebayo. Like, there's an opportunity cost that comes with that. That said, I do think he upgrades the roster. I think he's got his best basketball ahead of him. I don't necessarily think he's about, like, it's not this Goran Dragic situation. Like, if you can upgrade Dragic to Drew Holiday, you have to consider it. And I do think you're right that the trade kind of looks like that. Or, you know, you can swap Goran Dragic out for Tyler Johnson. Ooh. Either way, they kind of come off the books for New Orleans, not this summer, but the following summer. So they're going to save money for the 2 years after that because they'd be getting off of Drew Holiday's four-year contract. Maybe you have to throw James Johnson in there, but you could kind of do it with Dragic plus Bam Adebayo or Tyler Johnson plus Bam Adebayo for Drew Holiday. Now, I don't know if that's even enough for New Orleans. It really depends on what they think about Bam Adebayo. If you're the Heat, maybe you have to throw in a draft pick, but they just don't have a lot. Like, they have one second-round pick in, like, 2024. I don't think that's really greasing the wheels. And I don't think that they should or would trade their 2019 pick coming up. I just think that that has more value. You don't want to get rid of two assets for a guy like Drew Holiday. You kind of want to even get a little bit of a better player if you're going to do that. So it's kind of tricky.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting there. I like Holiday. I mean, there's also, I mean, look, we're talking about the player who has faced injury over the course of his career, and he's, you know, he's on the books for another 4 years, and that salary continues to increase over the next three seasons, too. So, I mean, does that give you any kind of pause there if you're the Heat and you're trying to retain potential salary cap flexibility?
Yeah, that's true. Season?
I mean, maybe a player like, I mean, is there anybody else in that roster, though? You know, now that we're having this conversation, is there anybody else there that you see and say, you know what, that might be worth taking a flyer on?
On their roster?
Yes. Julius Randle. I know
could you're you do fan. Oh yeah, Julius Randle, sign me up. But could you do, I don't know if he fits for this roster, but if you could do like a Julius Randle for James Johnson swap, go for it. Yeah, that's not happening though. Yeah. But Nikola Mirotic?
I mean that's a fun possibility, but he seems more geared towards like going towards a contender. I wonder if Miami would take his contract maybe to move, say, a James Johnson or somebody else like that, and then negotiate a buyout with Mirotic.
I was almost going to say you just swap Kelly Olynyk for Mirotic, right? If you're the Pelicans and you're about to lose Anthony Davis, you could use a center like Olynyk. Olynyk should be playing center. Unfortunately, he's been kind of lumped into playing power forward. But Mirotic is really a stretch four who a little bit more mobile defensively. Not even a little bit. A lot more mobile defensively. I think Mirotic is kind of underrated defensively.
Yeah.
But That would kind of solve two needs for both teams. Now, if you're Miami, now you might have to throw in that second round pick. Are you able to maybe move a Magruder or an Ellington, get some draft picks that way in a three team deal, and then kind of use those picks to kind of grease the wheels to kind of upgrade that Olynyk to Mirotic spot? But now you're talking about Mirotic, who could play next to Hassan Whiteside. And that's the big issue with Kelly Olynyk is that he can't, right? So now if you're able to do that, you get into the situation in the front court where now your pieces just fit a little bit better.
Yeah.
if I'm the Heat, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do that Olynyk for Mirotić swap. Whatever it kind of takes, you could figure that out. But if you could swap those two teams, I do think Olynyk would be better for New Orleans than Mirotić just walking out the door, right? You've got Olynyk and you've got him under contract for the next couple of years. I think he would be a nice fit there if you're trying to replace Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Speaking of the front court, we'll discuss the latest news when it comes to Derrick Jones Jr. and how long he's expected to be out after this break. The Miami Heat announced earlier this week that an MRI on Derrick Jones Jr. revealed two right knee bone bruises and that he'll begin treatment immediately and then be reevaluated in 6 weeks. So we're thinking about March at this point. Meanwhile, Spo said he'll play more of James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk, specifically Olynyk next to Bam Adebayo. Just kind of like what we talked about, right, David? So first of all, great news on Derrick Jones Jr. It's not anything that ends with a CL, so that's good news.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, you know, he was kind of building up towards something there, and he had been making a positive impact, but absolutely. The fact that it's, quote-unquote, only going to be a six-week reevaluation period, I think, is probably on the positive end. The way it looked when it first happened, I probably would have expected it to be a little bit longer than that. So I'm glad to hear that this is on the lower end as far as what his weight was going to be, the return.
I thought his season was over, and I thought it was going to be a situation where he's got to do the whole thing in the summer, and he's going to have to miss the beginning of next season. Like, I thought that was exactly what was happening. And especially for a guy like Derrick Jones Jr., who's working towards his next contract, right? Yeah. His contract is partially guaranteed for next year, and he'll be safe next year. Mm-hmm. But he's working for that contract after that, so you don't want him to miss any more time than he has to. Like, I'm so happy for him, so relieved. It's only a couple of bone bruises, right? And so hopefully he bounces back. And you know, there's questions about, like, all right, is he going to come back and start just jumping over the backboard over and over again? Like, we'll see. Right. But in the meantime, the Heat are still trying to make the playoffs. They've got some things to take care of in that front court. And you and I think talked about when this first happened after the recap of that game, we'd expect obviously more James Johnson in the games where Derrick Jones Jr. hasn't played or only played a little bit. James Johnson's minutes, you know, went up. There's a direct correlation between those two guys and how much they play. But then the big one is Kelly Olynyk and Bam Adebayo playing together. I think that we're gonna see a lot more of, and the Heat are gonna, I'm not gonna say they're better off without Derrick Jones Jr. There's a reason he's forced himself into the rotation. But it's going to be good either way for Olynyk and Bam to be on the court together more.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the situation with Miami's roster and how difficult it's been for Eric Spoelstra to find a rotation that works, you know, unfortunately, and that's one of the things that I think you've been really steady and consistent about saying when it comes to Spoelstra is that, you know, this, or rather for this roster, that there's always somebody that's injured for one way or another, for one reason or another, and so, you know, there's only a certain number of players that are going to be available at every given opportunity. I think maybe our health is coming to an end, maybe, or at least, you know, mm-hmm. It certainly seems that way with Derrick Jones Jr. So it just makes it easier for Spoelstra to kind of figure out who should be getting playing time. And it's up to Olynyk to make a positive impact there. He did so against the Knicks the other day, had some nice scoring. I think we're going to continue to see that. And it's going to be an interesting opportunity for him.
Yeah.
You know, he struggled earlier in the year, and then, of course, he fell out of the rotation. So I wonder if now he's going to be able to capitalize on that.
I do wonder if this will affect the trade deadline at all, if maybe, you know, given that they're going to be missing Derrick Jones Jr. until March, and we don't even know exactly, he's only going to be reevaluated, right? We don't know he's coming back,
yeah,
right? So he could miss. Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did. And I think a lot of that decision could come down to roster construction. If some guys are moved in and out, we'll see. But that's one less guy you have in the front court. And I think that actually makes James Johnson less expendable now, because Derrick Jones Jr. was kind of your guy behind James Johnson who can come in and play next to Whiteside. He was kind of this do-everything utility for that the Heat otherwise don't have. And so now if you're Miami, maybe you hang on to James Johnson. Not that it was necessarily an option to get off of James Johnson. I still think teams worry about that contract and how long it is. But maybe they're less enthusiastic about entertaining any potential trade ideas for James Johnson, because I think he could help a contender. So something to monitor and think about. But that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. If you've got a smart speaker as a gift over the holidays, you can tell it to play podcast Locked On Heat. Connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll catch you next time when we have a recap for tonight's game versus the Bulls. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Wrap it up, B.